Hello, you're listening to Spoiler
Filled
Film
Conversation.
Hooray!
Hooray!
So guys, once again, we're back. I'm Richard Nicholas, hello. And with me is Abigail Bain.
Hi there.
And Anthony Evans.
How's it going?
Yeah, good. So, we're here, as we often are, to chat about a film. That film this week is the film Fido, The Tale of a Lovely Dog. Oh, great stuff.
Silly. It's not what it's about zombies.
But Fido is a dog's name, not a zombie name.
They're also making an allusion.
Zombie names are like Keith the Zombie. That's a zombie name.
Or Blarg.
Blah. Yeah, that's in their own dialect.
Something like Stumpy. Mostly.
Yeah.
Intestiny.
Anyway, Fido was your pick, Anthony, so give the details so everyone's clued up on what Fido film we're talking about.
I will. So, Fido, from 2006, is a Canadian-made boy and his dog zombie melodrama comedy movie about a family in an alternate 1950s suburban America who have survived the zombie apocalypse and now live in a world where zombies have become domestic slaves to society. So when they get their very first zombie, which they name Fido, he unexpectedly forms bonds with the son and the mother, which changes the course of their family dynamic. Directed by Andrew Curry and written by him, Robert Chomiak and Dennis Heaton, Fido also stars Keeson Loder, Carrie Ann Moss, Dylan Baker, Henry Cherney, Tim Blake Nelson, and, of course, Billy Connolly, as said Fido.
Yeah, that you mentioned Billy Connolly, right? I forgot he was in it, even though he's in it as one of the main characters. Because he looks so dramatically different, he's got short hair. I mean, he's grey and a zombie, and he doesn't say anything other than zombie stuff. But I totally didn't, like, register Billy Connolly until you, like, kind of reminded me now.
Yeah, it's the beard, isn't it? If he had the beard, maybe you would have recognised him.
Or if he'd had one of those weird T-shirts that has a little cape at the back that he seems to be the only person in the world who has.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess he's playing a dead, grade zombie. I mean, anyone in the part would probably be unrecognisable, really.
But I should have twigged. I mean, I've been just watching some Billy Connolly stand-up stuff. And I didn't even, like, flag up when I watched it that it was him. I feel ridiculous.
It's a good performance. I guess it's testament to the performance that you didn't even realise it was him. Because you wouldn't, because he doesn't even speak a word in this film.
No, he has the odd funny look on his face, and, like, he does a lot to get across, like, a sort of twisted idea of emotions, because essentially he's, like, a moron who wants to eat brains, but also subdued with these special collars that the film has in it. And he's kind of a servant, but is an idiot. But I don't know, but he gets his emotions across, and he seems lovable at times because he's kind of like halfway between a pet and a lover to the wife. It not really, but it's sort of, there's a flirtatious look there sometimes when he's sort of drooling and gurning.
Yeah, I think it was pretty good. It's a hard thing to get across so much kind of character and emotion when you've really got nothing to say or do.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a good job anyway, even if I didn't notice who it was. Why did you put it to us then?
Well, I was just recently kind of fascinated with the new kind of genre of, like, zombie comedies that have been popping up. Because now, Zomcoms, yeah. Because now, when you think of, like, zombies, like, say a decade ago, if you thought of zombies, the only thing you could really think of was horror. But now, if you think of zombies, it's either horror or comedy. And I think that's quite an interesting kind of change that's happened.
Yeah, ironically, the zombie genre has been done to death. And even zombie comedy, like, with video games included, I mean, there's so much satire of the zombie genre. It's like, either it has to be modernized and they're kind of fast and scary and it's more intense than the old school classics, or it's the kind of funny, slow moving zombies getting hit with ridiculous weapons and stuff.
Yeah, and they have, like you said, it is a bit oversaturated now these days. So I wanted to choose something which was slightly off field from that. Because usually it's just like, oh, we'll parody the zombie apocalypse happening, everyone dies horribly, but they all crack jokes about the cliches.
Yeah.
At least this one kind of has, like themes and is essentially a satire of, like, American life.
Yeah, it's not going after... Sorry, Abby.
That's all I was going to say, was it has a go, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, it's kind of having a look at 50s Americana and 50s style, you know, film, TV, and culture, and kind of poking holes at that, rather than making fun of the zombie genre. Abby, what were you expecting then when Anthony put this to us?
Well, I didn't know that much about it. I knew that Billy Connolly was in it, but that's about as far as it went. So I expected it to either be a comedy or to be horribly depressing, which is the other thing that comedians do.
Yeah, that is odd, actually. A lot of them, like Lee Evans, hilarious comedian, and then he does weird performances like Funny Bones, and you kind of go, oh, that's just kind of sad and a tragic character in a way. So it does happen where comedians think, I'm going to be in a film, I'm going to make it all dark and surprise people. Anyway, my expectations coming in were, I'm not a big fan of zombie movies because it's part of horror, and horror is always a bit to me, and it does not something I care for very much, you know. But, you know, zombie comedies, there's some good ones, like obviously Shaun of the Dead and like Zombieland come to mind as the some of the best. So, you know, I enjoyed those films, and I thought this could be good too. I liked the idea that it was sort of... what if we could control zombies more and they were like second-class citizens? That was an interesting premise. I'm also not a big fan of the 50s in terms of in pop culture, so I wasn't overly excited, but I was open-minded, and I think it was interesting anyway when we watched it. I thought there was some good comedy and some kind of weird stuff as well. I don't know. Let's just talk about the film then. What do we open on? They sort of establish the world, don't they? The universe, the concept. Does anyone want to have a go at explaining?
They have that really economical montage at the start, explaining the history of it.
Like a propaganda kind of information film.
If I remember correctly, there was some kind of weird space radiation.
Yes.
That made the dead rise from the graves. There was a brief war, then they sectioned off various cities into safe zones, but there's still this wild zone on in between the cities, a bit like No Man's Land, I guess.
Yeah, so I assume like it's supposed to be kind of like a replacement for World War II. What if the zombie apocalypse happened instead of World War II? Essentially, I suppose.
Yeah.
So yeah,
zombie Hitler surely would be the answer, but no.
Well, yes, but there's no reason he should be any worse than any of the others, I suppose.
No. Plus, he's not dead, so in this concept, it's only the dead that become zombies. And interestingly, when you die, you become a zombie. It's not like only the dead at the time. It's literally, whenever anyone dies now, they will come back as a brain-thirsty zombie.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's kind of nice. I like it as an opening because it... Because it is a kind of like oldie styly 1950s like infomercial kind of thing, it kind of puts you into the setting really quickly and nicely as well.
It's economic with getting the concept out to you, and it's done, you know, as a tongue in cheek satire as well. One of the other points I guess it brings up is essentially some corporation or a scientist has come up with a collar that can control the zombies. So we're now in a world where, you know, it's a business essentially to make dead people into like living servants by putting these special collars on them that mean you can control them, and they're sort of subservient, brain dead idiots. But they can just about manage badly delivering the newspaper or smashing the milk on your doorstep or tipping your chicken onto the floor. That seems to be the... They can just about manage to be a servant if you're patient.
That was my thing about it. They say, they're really bad at this. Why would you have them?
Well, it's like 50s inventions, I think. When people were being marketed the new, like, fridge freezer or cooker or microwave, they were probably slightly more tetchy and bad. So I think it might have been a bit of a comment on sometimes, you know, in America, that people were sold something, and maybe still are, that isn't that good, but you're told it's a possession that sort of, it's a lifestyle choice, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. And I kind of, where I like this film is because the zombies kind of are kind of parallel to a lot of different things in, like, real life. It's like, first of all, there's kind of consumerism being sold like a product which is not really fit for you. But then there's also a kind of parallel with, like African-Americans living in, like, the 1950s. Or, like, yeah, servants, just general servants like that. But then also, like, pets as well.
Yeah, they're sort of, they're standing for lots of things. And it became clear, like, they're kind of a second-class citizen, like, moral story in a way. But it's kind of broadly suggesting zombies are like black people or Mexicans that are, like, at the time, treated badly and are not treated equally. And yet, they should... I mean, I don't know if zombies should be extended the same rights as humans. I'm maybe with the zombie racists there. I don't think if zombies came to life, they should still get, you know, the same rights. Should they be allowed to vote? Surely they'll just vote for whichever candidate provides loads of brains.
Oh, how can you say that after Billy Connolly's performance?
Maybe that's what I need to... That's the weird thing, is what's the message? We should accept zombies? Because it certainly doesn't make any case for actually ethnic minorities, because they're not in the film.
I got a general sense that they should have the same rights as animals.
Yeah, I agree. We shouldn't make our dogs, like... Unless they want to. They don't have to fetch the newspaper or do household tasks. And they don't have to be chained up outside or whatever. I agree. Maybe it was a message, because it was called Fido, about animal rights. Or was it about corporate conspiracies and these companies that say they're doing things better for you, but secretly trying to control the world and become all powerful and keep you penned in your little safe areas and keep you naive and down? And maybe it's about the man. There's a lot of subtext to this that I'm now realizing is there.
See?
I still think it's weird. If you're making the illusion, right, that it's about how ethnic, just how other ethnicities were treated in America, why did the film not have any black or Mexican or Chinese people in it at all? Like, not playing zombies, not playing the white, you know, 50s suburban people.
Why, in their defense, a lot of people were grey, so you couldn't necessarily tell.
It just seemed
Plus, it was still the 1950s, and that's kind of how it was back then. You wouldn't necessarily see, like, a black or Mexican family living in, you know, white suburban America.
But that's like, you know, it is still a comedy in an alternate reality with zombies in. So you can kind of throw reality out and go, well, we can have one or two people in the neighborhood who are Mexican or black, so that, you know, it isn't an all white cast. Like, I don't know. Just a point to be raised, I don't know.
That is a fair point, because there is very kind of little resemblance to reality.
I was just going to say, they didn't have any disgruntled ethnic minorities saying that the zombies took all their jobs.
Would have been a funny if cheap pop, wouldn't it?
It would.
There could have been this underclass of, like, Mexican landscapers and, I don't know, Native American maids or something, you know, Puerto Ricans getting all antsy because they're out of work because zombies are cheaper labor. Essentially, they're slaves. Again, underlining the sort of issues America's had in the past. Very weird. You know, let's come away from the subtext and talk about a little bit more about the characters and the smaller narrative we have, which is a, like you said, it's kind of a boy and his dog story, but a boy, his dog, his, cruel at first mum, who doesn't seem to care about his son, and then later on becomes a sympathetic character on the side of the child, and the dad figure who's sort of I don't know. Well, how would you describe the family dynamic, guys?
I suppose it's the kind of lonely. I wouldn't say weird kid. I mean, that word's brought up a lot, but
he's bullied, and he's not even that much of an outsider. He just hasn't got many friends.
Yeah,
he's just a bit lonely.
And then you know he's living in kind of 1950s suburban America, where appearances are kind of everything. So that's all that kind of really matters to his mum and dad. And then they're kind of, it's not the most like loving families. Like the dad is really distant from everyone, very emotionally kind of sheltered because
more wanting to sneak off to golf, and doesn't even seem that interested in his wife, really.
Yeah, not even like he's obsessed with death and dying as well because of the world they live in. I suppose like death is much more of a reality for them. So yeah. He's much more obsessed with like having a funeral and making sure everyone like has their own kind of proper burial with their heads separated from their bodies.
You gotta have your head coffin paid for up front so that you don't come back as a yucky zombie.
It's skewed his view of fatherhood as well, because he had to kill his own dad in the original Uprising of the Dead. It means that he's got to think of, well, I'm not dead and trying to eat you, so I guess that makes me a better father than my father was.
Yeah.
It's kind of an unusual dark idea that instead of war stories, everyone has a when a family member died and we had to re-kill them story. And like it's like sort of something people have had to get used to, is they have to kill they're recently dead again. Like someone you love dies and then you instantly have to go and fight them off. It's kind of horrible and weird.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So they're kind of like dynamic is shifted then when they have some new neighbors, one of which is like one of the leading guys at like ZomCom, which is the company that runs the town and provides them with protection from the zombies and their zombie slaves and whatnot. So the mum is kind of forced into buying themselves a zombie because keeping up appearances and all that, even though the dad is like terrified of them.
Yeah, and then again, it's like that, oh, I don't like having a dog because I was bitten by a dog. But in this case, it's, you know, rightfully scared of zombies. I mean, you should be. That's probably wise. I don't know how much I can trust a collar that if the power goes, you got a maniac on the loose, you know. I would hate to think if I took the collar off my dad's dog, she would suddenly go skits on me, you know.
Yes.
Couldn't keep a pet if that was the case.
Yeah, so it all just kind of like goes from there then. And then essentially how Fido kind of brings out the best in like the mum and the boy and changes their whole family dynamic, really.
Yeah, they kind of like the kid starts bonding with his pet Billy Connolly Grey Zombie Man, and he takes him out for a walk. And one of the turning points for me that I didn't quite get the tone was the zombie. They're playing catch, or they're trying to play catch at this kind of, you know, he's a brain dead zombie, he's not very good at it, but he breaks the collar and he goes feral or whatever, and he kills an old woman. She's a horrible, nosy old lady, but the zombie kills her, and then the kid manages to, like, you know, stop the situation getting any worse and get the zombie out of there. And, you know, they kind of have to cover up. Later on, the kid runs out and has to cover up the fact they've killed this old lady and bury her. And then, of course, you know, she's coming back as a zombie later on.
That was one of the things about this. It was one of the first things in this movie that made me go, well, I'm not sure that I agree with the way your bread is buttered there, movie.
you mean
I love
like
dogs, for example. And if there was a movie about a dog that had rabies, bit someone, gave them rabies, it would not be fine to then keep that dog, and it'd be okay.
Like, and it's not rabies, it's dead. The woman who dies, and it comes back as a zombie and has to be re-killed. And it's just like, it has this kind of flippancy with death. Because, I mean, it's a universe they've created where death happens a lot. But it's still, well, this kid is trying to save his pet from being, I don't know what they're going to do with a zombie, but they're going to lock him up or like, put him down or whatever if he's found out. So it's like, they don't really care that this lady is dead now. Like, someone has died. We can't be sympathetic to a kid and his zombie, you know? That's kind of one of the things. Like, there's a lot of death this ditched out. Like, the mum basically kills some Boy Scouts at one point. You know?
Yeah, but that's kind of why I like this film a lot, is that weird kind of tone shift. Because it does clearly kind of set up a world where, like, death is more important than life, and people really don't care about anyone else being alive. They never really show any kind of emotion towards it whenever it happens.
Yeah, it's because they live, the survivors, in a bubble where they're forced to kind of live happily, neighbourly lives on and keep up appearances. But essentially, we're living in an apocalyptic world where, you know, I don't know, on the other side of the fence, I don't know, zombie Mad Max is happening. I don't know what's going on, but it's terrifying.
Yeah, and then it's just kind of like the whole 1950s kind of style and attitude really, really highlights then all of the horrible things that are happening, because that's so, like, nice and pristine and, like, colourful. And it really kind of contrasts with that. And it at times it really reminded me of Tim Burton when he was, like, at his best, because he was, like, always really influenced by, like, 1950s kind of B-movies and, like, horror slash kind of comedy. So this kind of really reminded me of his kind of, like, earlier stuff, like Edward Scissorhands. Yeah, and, like, Beetlejuice and stuff like that.
Yeah, I kind of see that. It is a good contrast, but it just, you know, it's hard to root for someone. Like, because they try to play it like, oh, well, this woman was a bit nosy. And later on, the two of the kids who bully this main character are, like, obnoxious scouts who are always horrible. And then when Fido ends up, like, basically one becomes, as they both end up dying, but being re-killed by the mum. And it's just kind of like, well, you did still just murder children. In a way, you've sort of justified it, but you've burnt the corpses of Boy Scouts in, like, a hut and are trying to go back to normality, like, no big deal. We're not going to grow up being scarred forever by this. You know, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
She had a really nice speech, actually. The one where she said, it was something like, I don't want you to think that what we've done is okay or normal in any way.
Yeah.
And she delivered it really well. So she gets points for that speech.
Do you reckon they're trying to say something like, are they really any worse off being zombies? Because the people, like we've mentioned so far, who've died is like the nasty old woman and then the two kind of horrible kids. And it's like, are they any different now that they're zombies?
Well, they're brain dead and then they're killed, so yeah.
like, were they any different before?
They were incoherent when they're dead. But I get what you mean.
Yeah, I guess, you know, because it's like broad, obviously silly comedy, you kind of supposed to just let it go, and it's more comedic than it is, you know, realistically gripping or whatever. But I don't know. I don't know if I totally sided with the family we were supposed to. Plus, you know, the dad figure, you know, it's kind of about, it's a long game for him coming round. It's about the mum and the kid getting on with their new servant pet. The mum almost, there's a flirtatious, what if in another life we could have been together thing going on, where she almost fancies the zombie, but that never, it doesn't go too weird with that. It just sort of implies she likes the zombie more than her husband at times.
Yeah, I think they captured that really well, because I think they were kind of taking, like a lot of like 1950s like American cinema was melodrama. Specifically, I'm thinking of like Douglas Sirk, and a lot of his stuff was about like repressed kind of feelings and like unrequited love, and it like their little story, Fido and the Mum, really kind of captures the essence of those films. Those melodrama films from the 50s,
yeah,
the very like heightened emotions, but very subtle kind of acting, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
So I really liked when like Fido and the mum had like moments together. Like those were kind of some of the best bits for me.
Yeah, they were. Sorry, go on.
I did like those moments. At the same time, if you thought about where that road goes, it was just horrible. So you had to think about it in very specific ways.
You can't really romance a cadaver, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Even that, you start thinking about how it might work, and that's no good either.
Yeah, because in a way, after he dies at the end, which is, he kind of redeems himself to a point, basically saving his son at the end and being shot, and it's quite dramatic, but, you know, he dies and he gets the funeral he wanted, and the family instantly live happily ever after, and have totally shrugged off him dying. You know, it's... I don't know, I liked some stuff, right? I liked the scene where that becomes clear that this is what the story's about. And it's when the kid and Fido are washing the car together and the mum comes out with drinks and they're all happily, like, you know, they're squirting each other with the water and having fun. And the dad is such a killjoy, like, jealous and kind of, but also pathetic. And it kind of, you know, it highlights what's wrong with their family dynamic, and it's kind of ridiculous and charming as well. You know, I like that. I thought that worked. What do you guys think?
Yes.
I agree. When they were washing the car in particular, it was just so... He played it really well to be both jealous and confused by the situation.
Yeah, because essentially he's jealous of a brain-dead man who just does whatever he's told. But, you know, it has the affection of his child and his wife, and he's right to be jealous. But it is kind of... It's one of the absurd scenes that I think really works in the favour of the film. There's a lot I enjoyed. It's just I was occasionally questioning the... Whose side am I on here? Because essentially their world is a terrible place where, you know, death is treated... death is just shrugged off. Or is death happens and it's a terrifying problem. Like, there's one point where the old lady who dies, you know, rises from the dead again. I don't know why the kid didn't think that would happen. But she then ends up infecting loads of people in the neighbourhood. And they're all being killed. And it's all played for laughs. But it's like, well, a minute, those are all, like, school teachers and happy people. And now they're dead. It's kind of horribly tragic.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the humour in the macabre, I guess, isn't it?
So we kind of sort of talked about the school bullies a little bit. Who else? There's also the creepy kind of neighbour played by Tim Blake Nelson, who has another weird use for zombies. He kind of has her as a kind of weird sex slave kind of thing, or at least that's implied anyway.
He has her as a sort of slave girlfriend of sorts, isn't it? It's very odd. It's sort of like it's twisted on two levels. One, she's a zombie man. And on the other, she's also a slave for you. She has no choice in this. This isn't her decision. But he has like a zombie that's his sort of living girlfriend. And he's one of the few characters that breaks away from being cookie cutter and perfect. He's sort of neighbourly and fine and normal, apart from he's sort of going against people's moral judgments, I guess, having that lifestyle.
Yeah.
I found him kind of funny, though. I thought he played it really well, and I thought it worked as a kind of character. You have some thoughts, Abby?
Well, that is sex trafficking.
It's again making light of some very dark stuff. But in the sort of broad strokes of it, it is, you got the feeling like she was okay with it, even though she was, like, she always seemed to be, I don't know, because she's got the collar on, so she's forced to. But at the same time, it was played as if she was just a fine, you know, empty-headed girlfriend figure, happy to go along with it.
My thing with this movie in general is that in comedies, if you're doing something that's really horrible, you sort of need to draw attention to it for the comedy. Whereas in this, they glazed over a few things, so it wasn't funny for me. It was just kind of disturbing and wrong.
You're thinking about it too much, I think.
If you take something like Weekend at Bernie's, the whole joke is that the dude is dead.
Yeah, Again, I like your quoting Weekend at Bernie's as if this is like the good example of how comedy should work.
No, but the joke worked because it was overt. The guy's dead. We're going to puppet it. We're going to puppet him for our own game. But in this, some stuff they not overblew. That's the wrong word. But they made enough of a deal of some of the films so that they work. But then they didn't make enough of a deal of some of the other things so that it didn't work as well.
I get what you mean. I think you're right there. Because some of the comedy, I'd even say most of the comedy is just kind of like the kind of classic kind of parody where it happens and no one seems to react to it. It just is normal, even though it's really weird. That kind of comedy, and then sometimes it is very subtle. But then I think a kind of what you're supposed to be kind of doing in the back of your mind when watching this film is constantly substituting the zombies for something else, like in the back of your mind. And then just if you do every time, like you think of a zombie, but then if you just think of, well, in this scene they're a black servant, and then it kind of like all kind of changes.
But to me, that's kind of more insulting to suggest that like black people are essentially mute morons and they're akin to dogs as well. It's a little bit wrong to do that. So I don't know. I agree with Abby that at times, like, the comedy is very broad and they're kind of glossing over a really dark and sinister thing that maybe Tim Burton, early Tim Burton, I clarify, might have had something wittier and cleverer to do. Whereas the jokes in this are a little more broad and they're kind of allowing you to forget about the really dark implications of this whole universe because it's sort of jolly and merry. It kind of ends on a, we're happy, and it's like, it's still incredibly dark, your world, and you didn't highlight that enough. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, no. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but
the guy does kind of redeem himself at the end, where he stops treating her like a slave and more like a princess or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. In its broad jokes, it does come round and he learns a life lesson. He's kind of in there to be a helpful handy man. Like, he's a joke as a character. Like, it's a good reference to the joke. But he's there to be the guy who can help you out. He's like the neighbour who's been tampering with his equipment, like the collars. He knows how to adjust them and fix them. And has access to sort of the, like, he helps the kid out when they're trying to infiltrate the corporation that's making the collars, enslaving the zombies and creating an industry out of, you know, this whole thing.
That was another thing, actually. It was not okay that they caused a zombie outbreak at that factory, which killed a bunch of people.
We just care too much, man. We just, like, every time it does a lighthearted joke about zombies, which is silly, we kind of go, the reality of that. We're living in a stark horror film watching it, and Anthony is correctly watching it as a stupid comedy that needs to be laughed at, and we're getting all hurt and betrayed. Maybe that's the problem, is we're just too took it too seriously and worried about the context too much. But what you say, Anthony, it was not on. They basically are horrible people that we are rooting for to live happily ever after. Like, the kid even gets he's made a friend with a little girl who's barely in it, but her, you know, she then has her dad as a pet once he dies, and it's all kind of ha ha ha, we live happily ever after with our zombie pets, and my dad's a zombie, and, you know, like, it's odd.
It's true, but then I don't think there are any characters other than, say, maybe Fido, who aren't horrible people. But then that's just kind of the society they've had to grow up and live in.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean? They have
They're
to be...
just horrible, twisted people.
Yeah, just their reality is that everything is horrible and death is everywhere. So that's how they kind of treat it. And thinking about it now, even like the kid, like the main kid, even he's kind of not a very good person because he just kind of lets all this terrible stuff happen.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's it. Is it needed to emphasize the fact that it should have ended like an episode of The Twilight Zone, where you're left going, yeah, they sort of had a happy ever after ending, but it's all, there's like this, it really wasn't fine. Whereas I left it going, oh, it just wrapped up like a happy family movie. And like, you, it doesn't draw enough attention to the fact that its universe is twisted and wrong and sad and bleak. And, you know, it's got that 50s style tone all the way through. It's like high contrast colors, and it nails that style. But because it's so cheery, you almost can't see how like dark it is, I reckon.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean. But then it's that contrast, isn't it? Plus, like, that's just how like life was in the 50s. You just kind of like move on and put on a nice face and forget about all the bad stuff that's happened.
And then that is what it's lampooning, is the 50s mentality. So yeah, I think I understand it. What it's after a bit more now.
But I will agree that I think the ending is very just kind of quick and doesn't really. It's not the most satisfying of endings.
No, because it has a bit of drama with the infiltration of the factory. Like, they basically go and get Fido back, who's been rightfully captured because he bit someone and caused a zombie outbreak again. But he's then enforced in the factory. I mean, he's enforced wherever he is, but he's in this factory with all the other zombies making more collars and stuff, and then the kid frees him and they're trying to escape, and it builds to a sort of, the villain of the piece essentially is this government agent bloke who seemingly will let the child die on the outside of the world rather than have a big scandal or something. So he's a heartless git, and the dad ends up helping and stopping him. And
yeah, I feel like the only thing that was missing was one more scene with the dad. Like, if he had maybe a dying scene, I think like that would have sealed it.
Yeah, they, you know,
I feel like I feel like he had one more step of redemption left. I don't know.
He never really said the right things to his kid, really, did he? Because he sort of tried to save him, but that was fair enough. You're not going to let your kid die just because, you know, he didn't really learn that much. But at the same time, it's almost like instead of him being rehabilitated, like it sort of set up was going to happen, he just died, and therefore their life got better, and they all they lived happily ever after because they didn't have their killjoy dad anymore.
Mm.
Yeah, it was a bit mean to suggest that their problem was the dad.
So he redeems himself by saving the day, but then he's gone, so their life is good again. Like, that's harsh.
So that's kind of one of my like faults with the film, is that it's just a bit, I don't know, because he's so horrible throughout. You just feel like you just need one thing, like just one last dying scene where you all express your feelings or something, but it didn't come.
Yeah, he's the right man for the job, though. The actor playing like 1950s dad is just perfectly like lame, and he's just the right kind of boring. Not boring actor. He's a good actor because he captures that dull dad who is uncaring and materialistic, and yet, it was well done. Everyone's quite good. All the acting is really good.
Yeah, even the main kid as well. He's got a lot to do in this film, and he really holds up, I think.
Yeah, he's not annoying. It could have been very easy for this like concept to be like any child actor playing someone you're meant to like has got a lot of work to do to win me over. And I think they all, you know, it was all good. I didn't feel like anyone was out of place. I think they all were in on the same atmosphere. They were creating this 50s style. We keep saying 50s, but it is so much about that kind of Americana.
Mm. Mm.
They all got the vibe. It felt like this artificial 50s world. And I appreciate that. And the visual style was very good. There's the grey zombies, what do you guys make of them being grey? Does that make sense? It's a look.
Well, I thought it had to do with how long they'd been dead.
Yeah, they sort of go grey over time. But, and there's also a process where they didn't. Oh, whatever, I don't know.
I think that's just what happens to the human body. Like, once all the blood has been drained and, like, all the colour in your skin's gone, you just are grey.
I think it helped that, like, someone like Billy Connolly being a servant, if they went, they went with a grey, like, gnarly, like, horrible teeth and stuff, but it meant we weren't as grossed out. Like, one of the problems could have been having all these slaves that are corpses. If it was a, like, more realistic interpretation, it would look foul. Mm. And this part of the joke is that, you know, they're wearing these white gloves, and, you know, it's partly because they would need to look like black servants, but also because, you know, no one wants corpses on their fine houseware. I don't know. So there was an element of, if it was real, more realistic, it would be the most foul thing is to have an animated corpse in your house. I don't know. I think I was at odds sometimes with the humour, but, like, overall, I thought it was creative and interesting. You know, any other bits we want to bring up before coming to maybe a rating or something?
I don't know. I think my thing is just, it was really close to doing it right, but it misstepped in a few places for me that meant that it didn't quite work for me.
Your sympathies weren't in the right place or something.
Yeah, but I can totally see what they were going for, and it was a good thing to aim for.
It was a lot like, I don't know if you guys have played it, but there's a game, Fallout, especially Fallout 3 and stuff, that tonally, because it's an apocalyptic world, but it's a kind of dated style. Like, it had, like, lots of stuff that's happened in video games, like of that type. There's kind of something that's done a lot in video games, is the 50s, but also there's an apocalypse. And, you know, I think there's been stuff that's done it a little better, but it's still a workable comedy.
I agree. I think, personally, I think it's quite an intelligent satire. There's a lot of, like, there's a lot of themes running through it, like consumerism, communism, immigration, just a lot of things, like, satirizing, like, the 1950s. It's not just the 1950s America. Even, like, America these days is still kind of the same in a post kind of 9/11 world, where this was made, well, 5 years after that happened.
Mm.
It's got a lot to say, and there's a lot of ways you can take the subtext. You could almost think of it as like an animal cruelty story, or a sort of ethnic cruelty story, or the conspiracy government, you know, politics and consumerism. There is all these things running through it.
Yeah.
And it's about kind of the kind of cynical, horrible side of America and the cookie cutter outside of, you know, it's about, you know, the dark behind the light, isn't it, really? And it's kind of interesting from that point of view, I think.
Yeah. Also another thing that popped into my mind, they're kind of like, they have a kind of nature versus nurture thing going with Fido, where, yes, his nature is a zombie, so, like, so it's just natural for him to want to go and kill people and eat their brains. So technically, I think at one point the boy kind of says, like, well, technically then it's not his fault that he killed anyone, which is technically true. But then there's also the kind of bit where Fido starts to come around and stops acting that way. So there's a kind of like nature nurture thing going on there as well.
It just occurred to me that rather than say a dog movie, perhaps this would be more of a wolf movie.
Yeah. Trying to raise a wolf as a pet. And part of that that's interesting is Fido as a zombie character, without the collar on, he wants to eat people's brains. But they discover that now that the kids bonded with him a bit, there's still a part of this guy who's human in there and can control it. It's like a zombie that has a heart and can control himself and resist his natural instincts because he's got a family that he loves. And it's kind of odd how it implies that if zombies wanted to, they could fight their instincts and we could maybe, you know, feed them brains and it would be fine. They could be tamed.
Yeah, like in Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, right at the end, yeah.
So, yeah, just to sum it up, I think, you know, it's kind of an intelligent kind of comedy. I think it's really funny. It's certainly unique. And I'd recommend it. Like, it's not perfect. There's some weird tonal shifts. And like you said, some of the comedy is a bit weird, a bit dark.
But sometimes it's the other way. Sometimes it's light for, you know, it's too goofy and just zombie jokes, you know.
but go on. Overall, yeah, I really like this film.
Yeah, what have you got? Any? What can we rate it under? What kind of metaphor film bin thing can we say it is like?
Some kind of 1950s like Americana object, perhaps.
Have you got one? Have you? Is it like the? Is it the 50s vacuum cleaner that's sold for those housewives who are essentially lazy and can't get out a broom? Marketed as the must-have product. I mean, what have you got in mind?
I have nothing yet.
Ooh, I got one. Right, it's like for me, it's like the appliances, the Wonderlux appliances from but from the Brave Little Toaster Goes to Mars, which we have talked about. Because they are the products that have been made to break. And so they look brilliant on the surface. But they're kind of flawed inside, and now they live on Mars and have their own culture and live happily ever after. And you know what I'm saying, though. It's this idea of the 50s product that's perfect but has problems on the inside. It isn't quite the optimum thing, that invention you want. It's got flaws and it doesn't quite work, but it still keeps up appearances, I guess, is what I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. And that is quite relevant, because it is just all 1950s as well. And that's just how it would have been.
But you're a little bit happier with your 50s toaster than we are.
Yeah. Mine suits me.
You know, it may be broken, but you don't mind your toast.
Yeah.
Like, cooked on one side only.
It may, may throw the toast out of the toaster, but it always lands on my plate, so it's fine.
Butter side up. Although, I don't know how it got butter on in the toast. Yeah. Abby, what about you?
I'm going to go with 1950s TVs and how you had to tune it in order to watch things. And how, I imagine that would be something that divided people. Either you really enjoyed turning the dial, looking for your favourite station and finding your show, or you were on the other side where it's just like, oh, I missed it, oh, I've gone the bit off. And how it would frustrate you.
Not the TVs can't be like that these days. It's sometimes still a menace to get them tuned in correctly.
Because my thing about this movie is just, it gets close to being bang on for me, but then it just puts the dial slightly too far to one side or slightly too far to the other side and doesn't work for me anymore.
You have to get up and bang it on the side. So you're saying you have to kind of tune in to the right wavelength or whatever. That's kind of like a radio, I guess. But you got to get the tuning just right and it can work. Otherwise, you're a little off and then it doesn't work as much. Not as good. I kind of get what you're saying. It's about getting on the right frequency with it. That kind of works. So it is 1950s products. You either, get on with them fine, or you get wound up by their flaws and need to, just deal with it. I think it's definitely it's not one of those cheap and easy zombie movies where people make zombie movies because they're like the cheapest and easiest thing for any amateur to make. And it doesn't feel amateur. So I think it's got a lot of quality. I would cautiously recommend it if you're not tired of zombie jokes. So that's what I would say as well. So is that enough, guys? Are we done?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, yeah.
So make sure you train your zombie so that it can come off the collar, because it'll be better for their human rights, I think. So get your zombie collars off and teach them how to behave and not kill old ladies. Bit of advice. Time to go. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Oh, I really fancy some brains now.
Brain.